Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
If you guys missed it earlier today, we've decided that, you know, we're a new show. We've, you know, JP's been on the show for about 2+ months now, going on 3 months, and we're not a ranking show. At the end of the year, it's kind of become hackneyed that sports talk, you do like, you know, 5 best Cleveland sports talk moments or 5 best this, that, the others, that too many shows are doing that.
Yeah.
But what we will do is listen, read, and react to your rankings. We've got 2 guys in the show who've yet to give their top 5 rankings. Again, it could be top 5 Cleveland sports moments, like Daryl Ryder did on Twitter, and which we destroyed it.
We tore it apart.
Yeah, needed to. He had the solar eclipse as the number one.
It's not a sports moment.
But then he shoehorned it in with opening day. I'm sorry. If you want to say the eclipse was cool, fine. It was not a sports moment. Yeah, there were people who have nothing to do with opening day that were like, oh, the sun.
Oh, 5 minutes later. Yeah. Oh. It got cold for a second.
If you want to send in your rankings on anything from 2025, we've had show host rankings on air.
Which is very mean, by the way.
Yeah, very mean.
Very mean.
Jim laughed the entire way. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he did.
We've had caller rankings. We've had plenty. Worst Cleveland sports takes. From Xavier P.
Yeah, which was a good list until it wasn't.
And it was really just the Mike Vrabel's the source of all the problems. That was a wild
good
take.
List till it wasn't.
That was a straw man. But say it was still a B minus. But you guys can send those in at Nick Wilson says at Jay Peterlin. We'll get to Jake and to Jax before the end of the show. But I think it's really funny that Kevin Stefanski today was like, I could play DTR and Bailey Zappe.
Do you think it's just because he didn't know what he was going to do? Or do you think he genuinely is wondering in the moment if he has to go ahead and take one out and put another one in?
In
the moment of the game, that is.
I'm aware. I don't know. I think this is such no man's land. Like, he has never been here. He's never been to the Gradkowski part of the section of the season where it's just completely lost. I mean, listen, I understand that the defense is still playing really, really hard. And if he wants to make sure that Sunday doesn't look really, really bad, if he's worried about a blowout, I understand going to Bailey Zappe for no other reason than there's no way anybody in that clubhouse can believe DTR after the last 2 games. I understand pragmatically.
Yeah, you are giving off big what are we doing out here vibes, yes, if you throw DTR out there.
Now, it's logical because you want to, I mean, guys, the Pats could beat the Bills on Sunday. Tennessee could beat Houston on Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, you could have, and by the way, even if you only move up one spot.
It's huge.
Even if you stay with a top 3 pick, it's huge.
One spot could be the difference between spending a first round pick to get a quarterback or not.
Well, and here's the other thing. One spot could also be the difference between you trading down and getting, and basically recouping the Deshaun Watson trade. If you're able, if the Giants need to come up, and let's say the number one, the Giants would get, who's the number one pick right now? The
Patriots.
Titans. Or the Patriots. Good Lord, that was tough.
That's okay.
Let's say it's the Titans who clearly need a quarterback. So the Titans get the number one. Well, there's another quarterback in this draft. If it's Cam Ward or Shador, and that's who the Giants want, getting the number 2 pick is not the worst thing that can happen here.
Yeah, and you're not getting the Deshaun Watson haul. That was 6 total picks, 3 first rounders.
I mean, Albert you're did
probably,
say.
I know what Albert said. I think Albert is so locked into the season right now. He hasn't readjusted how bad this draft is in totality. And so I think the move up isn't going to be as great as 3 first rounders.
I'll be honest.
Because it was. I mean, RG3 back in the day, that was what it cost. 3 first rounders. I think it'd be like 1 first rounder.
Well, okay, you mean on top of
On top of the actual, yeah.
I'd still take it. If it's a 2026 first rounder, I'd still take it.
Oh, it's a great position to be in. Yeah.
Unless you want to play that you think Arch Manning's going to come out in 2027, which feels super locked into something that's 2 years away. But again, as long as there's a first rounder in the equation and you bump down two spots, I'd be thrilled. How could you not be? But again, I do think there is an element of all this with the Stefanski stuff that I just think there's... I don't think he's ever been here. I don't think he's ever thought he would be here. Like, I think...
The only time he really was coaching what was deemed as like a lost season and he had no games to play for or anything was when Deshaun got to play the final six games, right? Mm-hmm. But even then, your quarterback was locked in. Yeah. You kind of had a weird mission to win games and to try to win games, not only for the confidence of the fan base, but the confidence of Deshaun and everyone with Deshaun. And so there were things to play for.
Yeah, you know, okay, so anybody... So this is another thought that I've had when it comes to... And again, Albert said, every report says Stefanski's coming back. Like, not every report saying Barry's coming back or the structure as is coming back the way it is, meaning maybe some front office changes, maybe some coaching
staff
changes.
Albert said that initially, though. Albert was the one that put them both together.
Yes. But, like, the Vrabel stuff pays credence to this. Is there anyone who worried that maybe this season broke Kevin Stefanski?
Well, so I had initially thought about, like, a couple months ago, the idea when we thought the NFL landscape was going to be better, that it would have been, and this kind of goes to what Lachlan Fora had in his Washington Post article, that people around Stefanski kind of wanted him to be out of there.
Mm-hmm.
However he phrased that, I don't remember exactly what it was. But I, at the time, I remember thinking, okay, if Zach Taylor gets fired and you have a chance to coach Joe Burrow, and there were a couple other dominoes like that that could have been on the table that never materialized the way that we thought it would. And the reality is, this is a bad head coaching class. Or, sorry, bad head coaching opportunity if you want to go ahead and try to move off of a current job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it was still appetizing and you still had, let's say, the Cowboys job opened up, let's say the Joe Burrow job opened up, there were other jobs out there. I do wonder if we would have got more steam attached to that.
See, that's not what I'm talking about.
Oh,
what,
okay.
What I'm talking about is if Kevin Stefanski, if one, I don't know how he'll, I don't know how you rebound in a locker room after 3-14. I don't. Losing to this level becomes insidious and it becomes really tough to eradicate. I'm not saying it's impossible, by the way, but that's the first mountain you have to climb. I know, again, the defense is playing hard, but keeping those guys, if let's say you get 5 weeks into next year and you're 1-4, that's an uphill mountain.
You're basically describing Dan Campbell for the first stretch. He was 3-13 in year one, and then he started off year two 1-6, and then he just turned it around.
So the difference is, you by that point, you'll be going on the fourth season of 5 seasons. It looks like you're going to have a losing season.
Yeah, I mean, Sheila Ford at that point was ready to fire Dan Campbell, though, and they stuck with it, and then obviously he was able to turn it around. Like I do think a lot of this just comes down to can you actually win games? And if you start to win games, I do think you rebound with a lot of people, even coming off 3-13.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that's player belief. And again, I'm not trying to say that's what's going to happen, but I think we all just assume, well, player's not good enough, the Deshaun situation, give Kevin great players and he'll be back. I think there's a lot that goes into getting back to winning. And some of that is that this kind of losing, which Kevin has never done in his career as a head coach, it's totally different. If you went 3-13 with the Minnesota Vikings as the tight ends coach, it's not the same damn thing
right.
as if you are the head coach. So I think that's another thing to watch for next year. Is whether it's Kevin as the OC coming back, whether or hiring Clint Kubiak, and then it's the same role. He's like the CEO, but you know, his offense is back. Whether it's his relationship with the players, like, these are all things worth watching going forward. On top of, it does feel a little needle in the haystack trying to find the right quarterback going forward. Like, it just, there is a lot. I don't think, and again, an organization can do this, especially if they're closer to being right than I am. I don't think it's just about Deshaun. I understand that Deshaun certainly took you to levels of non-competitiveness that were hard to come back from. I also understand that this year's a little bit of an anomaly, the amount of injuries you've sustained from start to finish. I mean, we thought last year was bad. You were healthy until about halfway through the season when all hell broke loose,
mm-hmm, yeah.
Right? Outside of your quarterback and your running back. But I think it's just a really interesting situation, and I don't know definitively. I think coaches can be ruined. I think quarterbacks can be ruined. I think all the time we just treat these things in a vacuum. You're good, you're bad. And I do think coaches can be ruined in certain situations.
Yeah.
I also think coaches can just be ruined in general.
Now, as much of a Stefanski guy as I am, I'm open to the idea. I mean, I would look at this in any job, right? Like, if we had, Nick, if you and I had 5 years of awesome ratings or even just, like, good enough ratings where we're like, all right, the world tells us we're good together, this works, this is great, and then all of a sudden it just plummeted, and all of a sudden it was just awful, we'd be like, you'd be doubting yourself. Even if you think you know what you're doing is right, that doubt will always creep in. Well, that's human nature.
And I think, we're not the only people to point this out, but Kevin, I mean, after games, this is as down as we've heard, and it makes sense. I'm not reinventing the wheel with this take.
Sure.
But this is the most despondent we've ever seen Kevin. Even though the non-answers have been the same, the energy is not anywhere near it. And from each loss, it does seem like he's taking it harder and harder into the next one. That doesn't mean that Kevin is ruined. I'm simply saying it's something you have to watch going forward, because if this could be a case of, even if you get the right quarterback, if you get him at the wrong time with Kevin, that could be another problem that you have to deal with going forward.
You ever think about how hard it would be to be a 3-win team and do those press conferences like he does, where you have to stand up there and just can't say, we stink and I know it, and I'm sorry, I don't have an answer for you, this has all gone to hell? I think it'd be incredibly hard.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you.
Like,
I think
genuinely, even like the little things, like him trying as hard as he is to get the kicker situation right for what they've done for 3 weeks.
I think Kevin has done a little bit more bus tossing. He's never come out and said, hey, it's this, that, and the other. But like he's been more like a little more finger pointing this year than I've ever heard him.
Well, I mean, you can't sit there and tell us everything's awesome, because we obviously won't believe that.
Well, yeah, but I think my point is, like, you know, even in like, one, we all know got to coach better is different. Every time you're saying we just have to execute better, you are putting that a lot on the players. That might be true, by the way, but for a guy, like, his salvation is he just hasn't put a name on it, right? If at any point he had said, man, does that DTR stink, might have been the thing that got his ass fired, which is probably why
you can't do it. We never see people do it. That's what makes it interesting to me, is that it just in certain moments – I would have broke. I don't know. I would have broke, and Stefanski hasn't.
Is DTR or Bailey Zappe better than DTR and Bailey Zappe?
Mm-hmm.
And we get back to shredding people's top five. Jake Murren, come on down next on 92.3 The Fan. I've got a real special party with a lot of treats, a lot of bad things to eat. We also have some pork and sauerkraut. We got a New Year's Eve cake. Got some booze.
Yeah, why doesn't New Year's Eve have its... I mean, obviously booze is a part of it, but it doesn't have its own... You know, like Christmas, you get like the honey-baked ham. Thanksgiving has turkey and stuffing and all these other things.
It's pork and sauerkraut. That's like a big thing to do.
That's a New Year's Eve. I've never had pork and sauerkraut. I know you're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Every year my mom does it. Every year.
Explains how you've gotten where you've gotten in life.
Yeah,
have been if you had pork and sauerkraut earlier in your life.
Hold on now. This is a known thing.
You could be highlighting Barrett Sports Media, getting one story a week like Ken Carmen, if not for eating pork and sauerkraut on New Year's.
What a miss. What a miss by me.
That's, you know, maybe this year you eat some pork and sauerkraut and see where it goes from there.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, I realize why it wouldn't. Now it makes sense that it wouldn't happen now.
Also, why is pork and sauerkraut something anybody asked for in life?
I don't question the system.
I know. Right? That's the problem with the system. Never question this.
No, I question every other system, but not the New Year system.
I question even turkey on Thanksgiving. Like, I'll question everything. If we can do
He's
it better.
He's a wild man.
If we can do it better, Nick, let's do it better.
Yeah, but pork is awesome. Pork loin, specifically, is awesome, as is sauerkraut.
Do you have it any other time of the year?
Pork and sauerkraut? Yeah.
Yeah.
A pork loin with some sauerkraut, or like even schnitzel, which is basically pork and sauerkraut. I just had official, like, oh my God, like schnitzel from like the Germanic people for the first time in my life.
Chicago. Not the Spencer Germanic people.
No, not the, that's a, the Germanator, as he's known. And let me tell you, that changed my life as well. Yeah, schnitzel.
Okay, now I kind of wanted something that was, and obviously this qualifies in for like New Year's Eve of having something, but like I only eat stuffing on Thanksgiving. That's the only time I like stuffing. It's the only time I see stuffing.
Yeah, why?
It's just the only time I ever have it.
You realize you could broaden your horizons and have
it's
like on a Tuesday.
It's not broadening my horizons. It's just the reality of life.
It seems like you're living a very siloed life right now.
Not really. I'm also siloed life.
Yeah.
You're the one that lets a holiday tell you what to eat.
Well, yeah, and I still eat it every other day, too.
Who's getting bossed around by a holiday?
Not. I'm simply
not this guy. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Enjoy your pork and sauerkraut.
The guy who only has stuffing on a holiday isn't getting bossed around. Pot kettle, my friend. Let's go with Andy in the Metro Park. Sorry, Andy. Good Lord.
Hey, gentlemen. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, bud.
Like yesterday too. That was beautiful. But I wanted to say I'd rather hear your voices at midnight than Ryan Seacrest. So I may actually do the Odyssey app and put the 5-5 on.
Wait, no, should Andy, we do, let's do a countdown right now for you later.
Wait. Let's pause right there. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year! Yay!
Jax, what's our music? Dun, 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 dun.
You're a little pitchy over there.
Yeah, pitchy. I'm always pitchy.
All right, everybody, that is our gift to you. All right, what do you got?
What a credit.
I have one other favor. Now, can you say, sorry, I can't come to the phone right now, but please leave your name.
Sorry, I can't come to the phone right now, but please leave your name, your number, and what you'd like to talk about. All right, see you on the other side. Is that good?
I'm totally going to use that, yes. Thank you.
It's problematic. All right, Andy, we got to run, okay?
Guys, thanks.
All right, Andy. I feel like we did a mitzvah there. I think we did something good for the people of Cleveland, that if you don't want a Seacrest, you can Nick and Jonathan your way into with only 5 seconds out to New Year's. This is going to be like the new Pink Floyd and Wizard of Oz. If you sync up our show, those last 5 seconds, right with the ball dropping, I mean, it lines up, sending you into 2025.
Well, I smell a clip coming on the 92.3 The Fan Twitter account. It's us counting it down that you can play back later.
Ooh, we're just hinting to Keith now to go ahead and cut that.
By the way, pork and sauerkraut, the people are saying it's a New Year's Day thing. I think it still qualifies on New Year's Eve. I don't know, but it's more New Year's Day than New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's why I'm a rebel and I eat it the day before.
Yeah, you show them.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
so much more lucky because I eat it 24 hours earlier.
And you got leftovers the next day, so you get counts, right?
I got 2 pork loins. Of course I did.
Yeah.
All right, so we have spent the day saying we're not a ranking show. All right.
No, everyone gets in the holiday spirit and they do all these rankings.
Like everybody has a normal ranking segment. I'm sure we'll have to do that. But specific to the end of the year, my top 5 Guardians, my top 5 Cleveland sports moments, my top 5 things I ate in 2024. Like, miss me. We can't do that. That's not us. It's not organic. But we will react to and either elevate or destroy.
More likely destroy.
Jonathan certainly would like to destroy your top 5.
I want to come at your top 5s. That's not funny the way that you thought it was funny.
Send them in to Nick Wilson says at JP.
I'm not talking downtown.
Yeah, it sounded like, I'm sorry. You said you put some English on that one. That sounded like downtown.
Oh, boy.
Let's get to Jake Murren, who's been really fostering this top 5 Cleveland sports moments from 2024 all day long. Don't disappoint us, Jake.
I'll try, guys. I'm not sure how I'm supposed to recover from that right there.
None of us are.
So,
they can move.
Am I supposed to go 1-5 or 5-1 here, Nick?
Let's go 5-1. I don't know. I don't know in what world we started going 1-5. Like the whole thing is built on the anticipation of what's number 1.
Yeah, we want some list foreplay, Nick.
All right, what do we got there?
All right, yeah, I had to do top 5 Cleveland sports moments of 2024 because Daryl's list was so bad on X over there.
Okay,
so number 5.
Really, let's just he said the eclipse during opening day. As if it happened one day later, it was the second game of the season. It wouldn't. Maybe it'd be number 3. Who knows? All right, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so number 5, I do have the Cavs starting 15-0. The Victory Frog calling, the spokesperson calling into the station here on our show. I have the Cavs 15-0 start at number 5.
Kind of pandering to us. I kind of like that.
Yeah, that was a good call
by
you.
It's a really good start.
Yeah, because I was going to rip the streak.
Yeah. But not the frog. You can't rip the frog.
Yeah, although the frog has jumped the shark.
That's a, it's a frog.
Yeah.
All right, what's number four? That's just going to be...
That was a less joke.
It's going to be like a mic drop after mic drop in this entire thing. All right, what's number four?
Number four is one of many home runs I have on the list. It's David Fry's walk-off homer in the ALCS against the Yankees.
Man, okay. I mean, nobody... Daryl went Junkie Donkey, John Kensie Noel.
I think that one's still going to make an appearance on Jake's list.
Well, no, I know, but the fact that you put this one farther down the list means there is something else.
There's a reason why I like the Lane Thomas home run better than the other home runs. And it's because the ALCS ultimately meant nothing because we didn't make it to the World Series.
Thank you for that.
The ALDS, we advanced onto the ALCS. It mattered more.
Little Timmy, you're never going to make more than five figures in your life. Just king of the put down today. Let's go with number three.
Number three is the Donovan Mitchell extension. And it's at number three.
Whoa, hey!
Because this isn't the moment that you'll remember forever. If the Cavs win a championship in the next 3 to 5 years,
did the championship... Did steal your cab or something? What happened there?
That's the moment you'll remember.
Oh! All right, that's sus. That's not a great... You might have jumped the shark and or the frog, but let's go to number two.
Number two... Jonathan just mentioned it. The Lane Thomas ALDS Game 5 Grand Slam off Tarek Skubal. I actually broke my neighbor's plate underneath me from jumping in the apartment. Had to pay for that one, but it was worth it. Every time.
You broke his plate? Is that what you said?
Yeah, so she had like a plate gifted by her dad, her late dad, like wall. And me jumping around like a hooligan after that grand slam caused that plate to break. So
Wait, the plate fell off the wall? Or yeah, you knocked
in her
it
apartment.
Off?
In her apartment right underneath mine.
Hold on. You're reprieved of this because she didn't, if it's such a cherished thing,
yeah, why didn't you
stabilize the plate better than when someone can just jump up in the air and knock it down?
Yeah. It seems like she's kind of like an ambulance chaser.
Got this priceless heirloom. Let me just put this right here where someone can knock it down.
I'm sorry to say this. Unless it had her father's father etched in it.
Oh, no, I thought he said it did too.
I was like, well, that was bluff called, friend. Bluff called.
No, you're not in the. Listen, did she make you pay for the plate?
How much?
It was, I think, 25.
25. She just wanted 25 bucks.
Why is she hanging up like $25 plates on the wall, too, by the way? I mean,
by the way,
more chotch than
this
anything.
This was priceless. I'll give you 25 bucks. Sold!
Like when Andrew Jackson can cover the cost, you're not in a high roller territory.
Did you at least get the like broken husk of the plate, or did she keep that?
I mean, I think she kept it. She went up to our apartment and showed us this bag of broken
you
plate
got
and said, hey, can you get us a new one?
You got bamboozled.
I thought you saw the plate.
You didn't even see the plate fall?
No, it was underneath us. We had no idea, but my wife
you did totally
just didn't
got
want to dispute
for.
With the neighbors. She just wanted me to pay for it.
Priceless heirloom, my dad. Oh, yeah, $25 of coverage.
Jake,
sure.
You're such a sweet person because I would need three levels of proof from this lady.
Plate,
she seems shady as you know
that
what.
That plate is broken 7 times.
No,
her dad broke it first, throwing it at somebody in like a domestic disturbance 30 years ago.
That woman's made hundreds of dollars off that plate.
All right, what's number one?
Number one is the John Kensie Noel homer in the ALCS. I was in the press box for that one. Writing my story about how the Guardians lost, and then one crack of the bat and tied things up for extra innings.
I mean, we got three Cavs here, or three Guardians, two Cavs, no Browns. It's probably the best thing you did on the list.
Yeah, the Browns aren't worthy.
What? Oh, wow. Ooh. Oh, I like it.
You tell
Spicy
that to the Snow
Jake.
Globe game.
He is the Assassin's Apprentice. The Snow Globe game should be in there.
Well, that should be in there. But I don't know. If I was making a list, the Ravens game after Jimmy Donovan passed away it's a very memorable moment long term.
And also, one of those two or Miles DPOY have to be in there. Yeah?
For sure.
What do you think about the list in
general? It's a D-plus list.
Whoa!
Elevated by the wacky plate story.
Wait.
It's a D-plus list.
So what was it without the wacky plate story?
I mean, but two of his highlights were in a series the Guardians didn't even win. They're meaningless home runs in the end of the day.
You gave Daryl like a C-plus. Oh, no, you gave him a B-minus.
Yeah.
What happened between now and 340.
There was some creativity attached to Darryl's that I appreciated. This was just
you
like
mean a, making
this was,
stuff up about an eclipse.
This was a Guardians highlight fest, is what this was. Was this made by Guardians.com or was this made by Jake Murren?
I'll take destroyed priceless family artifacts of the downstairs neighbor over. There it goes.
Was that the eclipse?
Yeah, that condensed into like a 3 second chunk. We'll ask Ari Wasserman. I will give it a, I'll give it a C plus. It was as good as Daryl's. You know what? I'm gonna give you a B minus because of the plate story.
Yeah, there we go.
I mean, that plate story was worth it. You totally got bamboozled too. I would want my $25 back. Ari Wasserman of On3 Sports next on 92.3 The Fan.